in the city's rugby history has just opened too, with the launch, after a year's hard work, of a website capturing, preserving, celebrating and sharing the fascinating story of Kingsholm all the way back to 1873, when the club was founded. It's all part of an ambitious lottery-funded scheme, the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Community Project. And among other things, it'll put the club's history on the curriculum of local schools. True. And it's unearthed some fascinating stuff. But the discovery that sparked it all was nearly lost forever when work started a couple of years ago on the new South Stand, you may remember, as project coordinator Malcolm King told BBC Radio Gloucestershire's Claire Parrock.
When they came to demolish the old wooden stand, you know, it had been there since 1933, they discovered underneath it that it had proved to be at least a dry place to keep things. And when people didn't have room in their cupboard, they clearly, you know, just chucked it under the stand. That very nearly, I think, ended up in the skip with the rest of the stand. But fortunately, Gary Little from the club found out about this material and went round the corner to see the Gloucestershire Archives, who promptly did a swift rescue act. And so the material arrived in the archives, and it was then, you know, sort of, well, what do we do with this? And because Gloucester Rugby has such an important place, you know, in the sort of culture of the city and indeed of the county, it was decided that maybe we should make something more of this and actually start a Gloucester Rugby archive. We have also started to collect in material for the project from donors, quite a few of them ex-players, but also supporters as well, who have taken the view that rather than have all these memorabilia they have of Gloucester Rugby hanging around in a box in their loft, they'd actually like to make it available for the public to see sort of forever. And, of course, I would encourage more. You know, if you have a box in your attic that is full of stuff relating to Gloucester Rugby, please get in touch with us. One of the other major developments this year has been the launch of our website. And we've put lots of things on there, but, you know, we are only a year into the project. We're less than a month into the website, and we're intending to populate it with a whole lot more stuff as time goes.
What's been the really interesting things that you've discovered over this year?
One of the things that really surprised and pleased me was that all of this material that came across from the rugby club, you know, I never imagined that it would go as far back as 1873, but some of it does. That very old history of the club, I think, had largely been lost. And it's been really interesting to see how the club developed. I mean, initially it was very much a sort of middle-class club, which had rules to, you know, actually exclude anybody who they didn't think was a right and proper person. And it was it took about 10 years for them to realise that actually they would be a much stronger club if they were prepared to take in, you know, any class of person. And that did strengthen the playing side of the club considerably. And, of course, for many years, Gloucester was a very parochial club in the sense that the players all came from Gloucester. And I was astonished when I saw a note written in 1951 about the players for that season. And there were 17 players who played sort of most of the games or a lot of the games. And of those, 14 were born and bred in Gloucester. Two of them were people who'd moved to Gloucester because of their employment. And only one player actually lived outside Gloucester at that time. And you look at the League of Nations we have now playing for the club, boy, has that changed.
It's given you an opportunity to meet some interesting characters as well, hasn't it?
Yes, one of the other features, actually, of the website are interviews of old players. I found it really interesting to, you know, sit down in Pete Butler's den surrounded by, you know, Gloucester memorabilia, and to have this hero, Gloucester Rugby, holding forth, you know, on his playing career. It's just wonderful. I mean, you know, it's things that dreams are made of, is there? Three or four of us, you know, who are volunteers on this project, were chatting the other day, and we were all saying it's astonishing how this project has taken off over the last year, because it's just fascinating. You know, things keep on coming out about the rugby at Gloucester that, you know, we didn't know. Some of these are little snippets. We came across a report on a match which Gloucester played at Wasps. I think it was in 1961. The referee recorded that this match was played 35 minutes each way because on arrival the Gloucester captain had requested that they catch an early train home. Now, I can think of a few games recently where it would have been useful to stop the game 10 minutes before the end, but no such fun today.
Great to hear that. And I remember, I think it was something from the late 1980s. I think it might have been a Sutton United football programme of all things that I found in the loft, because Sutton United were my great-uncle's team. And it was a great feeling to find something that was so old. So I can imagine the feeling of finding all that memorabilia. The online archive also features BBC Radio Gloucestershire material, including an evening with stars past and present, recorded last year, and commentary clips from some of the most memorable matches in the last 15 years. It's going to be good, isn't it? There's also an opportunity for Gloucester fans to vote on the greatest game moments of the professional era that they'd like to hear again. You can find it all at the website, GloucesterRugbyHeritage.org.uk. GloucesterRugbyHeritage.org.uk.